950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Brett. Dear God, man. Nice to hear. It always is nice to hear Robert Pilot in there, but you're working the board today.
I am. Patrick is off calling some hockey game. I don't know where it's being played.
Okay. Yes. Where? Is he part of that? Is he part of the NHL bubble? Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, then I'm going to be working the board a whole lot more than I anticipated.
He's in Edmonton right now. He's having poutine and watching NHL players fight in the hallways of a Sheraton. I don't know where they're staying. It could be a Holiday Inn for all I know. It's good to have you. I haven't had you as my producer forever, man.
I know. I remembered how to turn on the mic. That's a good start.
Now you're remembering why you hate producing for my show. And good to have you back, my friend. I got my bike out. I haven't biked a lot lately, as in at all, for about the last 5 or 6 years because of my schedule has been chaotic. My schedule's absolutely been freaking chaotic because I've got 3 kids and now I've got one son heading off but to college. And so I've got some time. But the reality is I can't go back to my gym. And I mean, I'll keep my membership going. I'll do that. I'll keep my membership going, but I can't go in there. The average age of the person working out when I go in there is Target Demo Coronavirus Central. I can't. I would feel horrible if I gave it to someone. So I'm trying to find things to do. So I got the bike down. I have to say I had to replace like half the thing because it's all just pieces. And let me just tell you right now, my thighs are burning. Oh, my God. It's amazing when you do an exercise that you have not done in a while. And all of a sudden you do it and you're like, oh, just like a kid. And then all of a sudden you're 51 years old and you're like, not like a kid. This hurts. Ow.
How old is this bike? This isn't like a 1970s Schwinn bike you're pulling out of the garage.
It's a three-wheeler. No. That's got a basket on it. It's the Wicked Witch of the West special that I have from the Wizard of Oz days with a little basket. No, I got a Gary Fisher. Got it in 98. And I used to bike it all the time. When I had little kids, we had a Burley, which is basically the standard suburban parent thing to do. Throw the kid in the Burley and head on out. I'm not realizing that's basically a terrarium, so it's only like 900 degrees in that little thing on a sunny day. Poor kids. Anyway, but I did that until they got to a point where they could unzip themselves and get themselves out of it. So, you know, I haven't
get home. Uh-oh, this feels a lot lighter in the
boy, back. Those kids are always so sleepy after a bike ride. No, I'm not the worst parent ever. But I just haven't biked that much because now I'm running off to soccer games and band concerts and baseball. Not right now though, but I'm getting back into it because I need options. I need more options as far as exercise goes. So back to biking. I'll check my premiums on my insurance before I go any further. Joining us right now, Democrat of the day. We're heading to 16A, which is basically due west of the metro area, heading over towards the Minnesota border. Doria Drost is kind enough to join us. She's challenging the GOP incumbent there to try to carry the DFL and 16A for the day on Election Day. Doria, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. I appreciate the time. How are things going with your campaign? How are things out there in 16A right now?
Oh, my goodness. It has been an absolute whirlwind. Obviously, this election season, things are definitely unprecedented with COVID-19 and trying to kind of navigate that, as well as being a first-time candidate. But it's been wonderful connecting with all the people in my district.
Why don't you give everyone a little bit of a background? Who exactly is Doria Drost?
Yeah, so I am a almost pretty much lifelong resident of Southwest Minnesota. I grew up on a farm near Rushmore, Minnesota, which a lot of people confuse that with Mount Rushmore. It's not Mount Rushmore. it's a little small town right outside of the Worthington area. We have a bar and a baseball field, and that's about it. And I come from a very agricultural background. I've lived in the Marshall area now since 2017, so quite a few years. I attended their university, Southwest Minnesota State University, where I got my bachelor's in marketing and political science. And now I am returning to complete my master's degree in business administration as well.
Mm-hmm. What prompted you one day? I mean, obviously you love the district. You love being down there in the community. What prompted you?
Oh, absolutely.
What prompted you one day to say, you know what, I'm going to run for office here?
Yeah, so throughout my undergraduate, and this is actually a kind of funny story, my my forensics coach, which forensics is competitive speech at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. Through that organization, all through my undergrad, I did a lot of advocacy work for like student rights and women's rights and racial equity. And that really is what got me interested in legislative policies and decision making at the state and national level. And my coach, Ben Walker, he reached out to me one day in January and he goes, "Have you ever considered running for office?" And I go, "Well, eventually, I mean, first female president, let's do this." And he goes, "Well, you know, we have this opening. We're looking for somebody to run for the Minnesota State House seat for the district. Would you be interested?" I told him, I was like, "Well, yeah, let me think about it." And I started doing some research into the policy backings and inaction from the incumbent that's currently in the seat. And that really, it enraged me because our rural communities deserve so much better. So I got back with Ben, who's now my campaign manager, and I told him, I was like, "You know, let's do this. Let's be the change in the district and let's represent our rural communities at the state level proudly." So that's really what got me interested in running so early.
Doria Droz joining us, 16A, Democrat of the Day. I would be remiss. You have a story out of your district here, which has become a national story. And I wouldn't mind if you don't mind me asking just your thoughts on this. This would be the individuals in Marshall at the Walmart wearing the Nazi face masks and actually giving a Nazi salute in protest of the face mask policy. What are your thoughts on that? Because once again, this is one of those things where because of this incident, you know, the district is getting attention. Unfortunately, it's the wrong kind of attention, the kind of attention mm-hmm. that, you know, does not help a community, especially try to shake the idea that this is, it's not a welcoming community.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, I'm proud to be from rural Minnesota, but when individuals take actions like that are so blatantly racist and disrespectful to our communities of color, it's really disappointing. And it doesn't surprise me that this has reached the national news outlets, because it's an outrage. Communities of color, I feel with them, I stand with them, and it's shameful that we have people in our communities that would be so blatantly disrespectful, especially in the form of a World War II Nazi Germany symbolization of the swastika. Mm-hmm. And to just represent Marshall and their communities through those actions is very disappointing. And it definitely makes me feel, as somebody that's running for elected office, that we must do better, especially at the state level, to really combat this racism and to make policy changes that help promote and equalize the system to uplift communities of color, because they have been marginalized for way too long.
And I'm going to say this. This is going to be me saying this. We have the story, and I'll get to this a little bit later on this hour, of the Wabasha County on the far eastern side of the state. The Republican Party out there basically trying to compare wearing face masks to the Nazis, you know, making the Jews wear, you know, stars of David. And, you know, so there clearly is, and I'll say this, I mean, regardless of whether or not Jennifer Carnahan, the head of the Minnesota GOP, is outraged or not, the reality is this is clearly something that is, when you look at the Wabasha County Republican Party putting this out, this is something that's being pushed in certain circles, which is, you know, this is, I think, the narrative that's being, they're trying to use to win this election cycle. And I agree with you. I have zero tolerance for it. And sure, I guess it gets your base on board. I mean, I'll go back to the old Simpsons line when they said, you know, the Republican Party, not racist, but it's number one with racist. And you know, that's kind of one of those things. Yeah. If that's where you're at, that's where you're at. I will say, I want to branch out a little bit from this, because obviously we are dealing with, and the reason we have face mask policy is this coronavirus. If you don't mind, I know the south, mm-hmm. the western part of the state and the southwestern part of the state have been hit really hard by this coronavirus problem. How are the medical facilities holding up, and where do you think you could make improvements if you became the representative for 16A?
Yeah, so honestly, our medical facilities here in southwest Minnesota are increasingly overwhelmed. I mean, with the recent spikes in the virus, it's definitely hard for our medical staff and professionals to keep up. And not just that, but at any given time, I mean, Southwest Minnesota compared to like the metropolitan area, our resources for healthcare are so limited. And that's actually one of the platform items that I'm running on. We lack the necessary facilities to care for our populations. And then if you have individuals that are covered with state insurance, that becomes even more increasingly difficult for them to find providers to care for them and also accept their coverage. So it's definitely been a challenge in the midst of this pandemic to find the staffing and the resources to care for our communities the way that they deserve to be cared for.
The worst thing about the pandemic is it exposes the failure of America's healthcare system, which is not the quality. We have the best healthcare on the planet. It's that we've allowed the healthcare industry to become such a business that they don't understand the purpose of healthcare is not to do it on the cheap. It's to basically make sure people can be taken care of. And when you're doing when hospitals have to do bed counts because, you know, it's basically, you know, they have to, you know, cut costs. Well, the nightmare scenario is a pandemic, and then all of a sudden we realize, well, maybe cutting costs is not the place to be. I agree with one thing that, and this goes into education as well, the idea that we need to get the broadband going better, because if we're not going to be able to get the investment into these hospitals and medical facilities that we need, we at least need to be able to have doctors on call that can at least, for the temporary, until we can get the funding that we need, to be able to help the local community.
Absolutely. I think border-to-border broadband should be a top legislative priority, especially in the upcoming sessions after following this election.
Agree with you wholeheartedly. And this piggybacks into education. We are going to try to – I know there are going to be some places. I heard in the metro area, Bonnell St. Margaret's going to try to do – it sounds like a full – they're going to try to do in-person classes, full class, full school. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to work. I'm not trying to be blithe. I'm just saying it's, you know, this is a pandemic. You generally just don't do this sort of thing. Even when schools were in session, the lack of quality broadband in outstate Minnesota in 16A was causing a lot of problems for the students and the teachers in these education systems. Now we're in a situation where we desperately need quality broadband or at least internet access. And frankly, every day a kid going to a coffee shop so they can get a free Wi-Fi is not a good option. That border-to-border broadband, I mean, the impacts of that, it's not just medical, it's not just education, and the business impacts as well. It's a quality of life issue at this point, and it's just so darn disappointing. The Republicans who promised broadband decades ago have still not delivered on that.
Exactly. And I 100% agree with you. It's a healthcare issue. It's an education issue. It's a business issue. It's also an agricultural issue. I mean, our world has become so dependent on these technological developments. And just the fact that we don't have border-to-border broadband already just shows how far behind we are in changing to adapt to the times. Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame when a farmer has to go into their tractor, which might be the best computer they have in their house, and have to, you know, use that for basic information. When the reality is that they should be able to, a kid should be able to be at home. A farmer, when they get up in the morning or they go to bed at night, should be able to check prices. You know, they should be able to tie into their co-op directly. You know, there's a lot of potential here that we are just missing. And it's now at the point where I think the state has an obligation to step up now. If private business doesn't want to do it, well, then let's just do it ourselves. And the state, you know, we can have the state manage it, but at least get broadband out there, because it is actually hurting us now far more than not having it. I mean, it really is. It's getting detrimental to the communities.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, We could be doing so much more. I mean, privatization is definitely a major issue in so many different sectors. I mean, if you look at the healthcare industry, the privatization with insurance and prescription drugs, I mean, that is just, I think that should be illegal. I mean, healthcare is a human right. And border-to-border broadband, I mean, that's another step in the right direction to making sure that everybody is living as equitably as possible.
Couldn't agree with you more. The idea that we dangle, you know, insulin for diabetics in front of them like it's a carrot in front of a mule because, God forbid, some guy doesn't get his fourth vacation home, I think is a travesty. And, you know, I understand that people say, well, let private business do it. But, I mean, there comes a point where if private business isn't doing it, it has a responsibility of the state to step on in. I think I think you should go to St. Paul and champion that.
You know, I would absolutely love to. I am completely on board for that. I think the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act was definitely a step in the right direction, but I feel that our state could do so much more to protect those individuals that need those life-saving medications.
This is the point where I say, if you are in the metro area, you're listening to me right now, help your local Democrat. Of course, the DFL needs help in all districts. But if you've got some time, if you've got some money, we need to make sure we get as many of these House seats in the Democratic side as possible. Look at currently Kurt Dowd holding up a bonding bill because they just not because they don't like what's in the bonding bill, but they want to rein in Governor Walz's powers. And I think that's not good politics. We need to have a stronger House, a stronger DFL House, and that is why we need Doria Drost in the House. If I'm not mistaken, I got it here. I think it's DoriaDrostForHouse.com, right?
Yes. Yep. There's a contact form on my website. Tons of information about who I am and what I stand for on there as well.
And people can donate. I mean, your volunteer opportunities, I imagine, once again, in the age of COVID, where you're dealing with stuff, phone banking. But that's the nice thing about phone banking. You can do it from a distance.
Yeah. We're doing phone banking. And then just because of the whole COVID pandemic, we're doing no contact lit dropping instead of going door to door canvassing.
All right. If people can help out, and once again, you need to get out of your comfort zone in the Twin Cities. You need to get out to 16A. You need to go out there and volunteer. You need to make a donation. And I know there's a lot of people asking, but you know, responsibility begins at home. And Minnesota is our home. We need Doria in the Minnesota House. Once again, it's Doria Drost, D-O-R-I-A, Drost, D-R-O-S-T, FOR House.com. Doria, I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Hopefully we can get some volunteers, some donations out your way.
Yes. Thank you so much. I love the opportunity to really connect with people on any platform possible.
All my best. I hope we do get to see you in St. Paul. Yeah, you definitely got the right mentality and got the heart for the district. So, my goodness, I do hope that we get you into 16A. That'd be fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Doria Drost, Democrat of the day, 16A. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, and all their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. And Rudy Luther pays you top dollar for your trade-in, even if you don't buy a vehicle from them. Whether looking for an upgrade or looking to get rid of a car you no longer need, you'll get a great return with Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hello, it's Keith Ellison. I'm voting for Ilhan Omar in the upcoming DFL primary because she shows up for the community. When they tried to take our vote away or interfere with our right to marry who we love, Ilhan stepped up and urged everybody to vote no twice. When Trump announced his Muslim ban, Ilhan Omar organized thousands of Minnesotans to stand up and say no. Everybody's welcome in Minnesota. When COVID-19 hit, Ilhan passed the Meals Act, guaranteeing school meals for all of our district students and 20 million students nationwide. She raised over $300,000 to support local organizations. Now, we need to show up for Ilhan. Go to dfl.org, and get your ballot. Vote early at your county office or vote in person on August 11th.
I'm Ilhan Omar, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Ilhan for Congress.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So I want to go, but we have to kind of go back in time here because there is definitely breaking news on a story which we've been following here for a while. And it has to do with what has been labeled Umbrella Guy. Now, police murder George Floyd. We all saw it. And then on, I believe it was on the Wednesday, the 27th, you know, people were protesting. This is just to the east of Lake Street in Hiawatha. And they're just a little further down in and by the 3rd Precinct, which is over there. And there's, of course, there's a Target store, Cub Foods over there, AutoZone, and a few other businesses, Arby's and stuff like that. I believe there's a Wendy's over there, too. And a few days after that Wednesday, there was video that started circulating where someone had filmed a guy who had walked. Now, and this is, once again, at this point, there's a lot of people in the street. There's a lot of people angry. But no one had really done any damage. There hadn't been riots. There hadn't been looting. There hadn't been arsons. That had not started yet. And there was an individual guy, white guy, wearing all black, carrying an umbrella, hence Umbrella Guy, wearing a face mask with little two purple things on it, or pink things on it, depending on how you look at it. But he's wearing a face mask, and he apparently walked over to the AutoZone. This is right across the street from the 3rd Precinct. Spray-painted something on the side of the you know, it was bad phrases, on the side there, and then you see him on this video. This is the first guy. Starts smashing out the windows in the AutoZone. I mean, this guy started it. This was the individual. And people were angry and pent up. And I said, we need to find out who that person is. Now, there was a lot of individuals that came. Someone lied and created a fake meme that said the Umbrella Guy was actually a St. Paul cop. Now, I have noticed that there's a lot of people that like to wag fingers and condemn. Don't you dare get upset with people that when they see something that, you know, could possibly be true, they ask, is that true? And there seems to be this mentality that you should have never questioned whether or not this is a cop. Well, no, I think it's fair to ask that question. As a matter of fact, after this story, I think it's a fair question to ask, especially Bob Kroll's. Didn't he have a patch on one of his motorcycle jackets that was a white supremacist patch or something like that, Brett? I can't remember. Wasn't that the case, I believe, on that?
Yeah, his little motorcycle gang.
Yeah, motorcycle gang. I think it might be a worthwhile question to ask if there was any communication between the group we're about to talk to and Bob Kroll prior to this. I would just saying that's just something I would be interesting to see if there was any contact. You'll get to my point. But needless to say, the people are like, how dare you even ask this? No, this person started it all. Of course we should be putting forward an effort to try to find this person. And if someone puts out, and once again, it ended up being fake, but still, don't get mad at people for asking the question. I hate telling you this, but that's called journalism. And if the people that like to think of themselves and put the crown on their head and talk about how we're the journalists and you need to bow down to our greatness actually did their freaking job every once in a while, maybe, just maybe, we get a lot more answers and not have nearly the mess in this country we have, as the media in this country has allowed ignorance to be an effective counterpoint to intelligence. I mean, ugh. That being said, there is a rumor that went around that it was a St. Paul cop. It wasn't the cop, but we still had nothing there. And frankly, I posted something up last week. I said, I'm under the suspicion that this guy, this Umbrella Guy, might be like one of these guys that showed up in Portland, Oregon, and is starting to tear gas and beat protesters out there without warrants. Well, we now know the truth. And it was something that went at the very beginning. I said, it's clear to me that this guy is not from Minneapolis. And this guy came into town to try to instigate problems. The story today, a masked man who was seen in a viral video smashing the windows of a South Minneapolis auto parts store during the George Floyd protests, earning him the moniker Umbrella Man, is suspected to be a member of the Hell's Angels bike gang seeking to incite racial tension and demonstration that had been peaceful. Minneapolis police arson investigator said the man's actions at the AutoZone on East Lake Street set off a chain reaction that led to days of looting and rioting. The building was later burned to the ground. This was the first fire that set off the string of fires and looting throughout the precinct and the rest of the city, Erica Christensen wrote in a search warrant affidavit filed in court this week. Until the actions of the person your affidavit has been called Umbrella Man, the protests have been relatively peaceful. The actions of this person created an atmosphere of hostility and tension. The affidavit believes that this individual's sole aim was to incite violence. And now, by the way, it should be noted, I don't think this was the only guy out there. There might have been a whole crew of the Hell's Angels out there trying to incite violence. Because remember, wasn't there a TV reporter that had a run-in with one of these guys that wasn't the same guy? There was a different guy that had a run-in with the Minneapolis police, with the Minneapolis TV reporter. I'm wondering if this is what they intended to do. They intended to kind of infiltrate the city and try to start as much trouble as possible. Police identify the suspect thanks to a tip that came via email last week, Christensen said. At least two people died in the subsequent riots. A live stream video from May 27, 2 days after Floyd's death, showed the man walking casually along the front of the former site of the AutoZone stores, breaking windows with a 4-pound sledgehammer, prompting some protesters to confront him to ask him to stop. One protester seen wearing a pink shirt in the video is following Umbrella Man around the rear of the building, demanding to know who he was, prompting the suspect to shout back. Prior to that, police say the man clad in black head to toe and carrying a black umbrella had spray painted on the side of the building. Christensen wrote the affidavit that she watched innumerable hours of videos on social media platforms like TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, and YouTube to try to identify the suspect. To no avail, investigators finally caught a break when a tipster emailed the Minneapolis Police Department identifying the man as a member of a Hell's Angels biker gang who wanted to sow discord and racial unrest by breaking out the windows and writing what he did on the red doors. A subsequent investigation revealed that the man was also an associate of the Aryan Cowboy Brotherhood, a small white supremacist prison and street gang primarily based in Minnesota and Kentucky. Several of its members were present at the Stillwater incident. Now, if you remember the Stillwater incident, that was when the woman wearing the hijab was trying to leave a restaurant and she was being harassed by racists. In the days after the rioting started, video of Umbrella Man ricocheted around social media. So you have a guy, I want to make sure I point this out, okay? Just for everyone out there. Once again, not from Minneapolis. So we now know that the police murdered George Floyd, highlighting yet once again the horrible treatment of African Americans by the Minneapolis Police Department. We know the violence was instigated by white supremacists who were not from Minneapolis, were from outside the city, who came into town to try to basically start rioting and looting. And the Republican Party of Minnesota still sits there and says, it's those black liberals in Minneapolis. We need to rein them on in. See how that works? See that how that works? I see how that works. This is, I said back in May that this guy, I doubt he was from Minneapolis. We have had numerous arrests from people, most of which have not been from the city. They're from outside the city. And I think Governor Walz made the mistake of saying they were from out of state. The reality is he should have said the people that were causing the problems in Minneapolis, St. Paul, were not from Minneapolis, St. Paul. They were from out state. They were from these rural districts where their Republican politicians sit high and mighty on their throne talking about those people in Minneapolis and how they need to be reined in. And little they want to talk about the fact that their people are the ones that came here and caused the damn problems. And no, you will not see the Minnesota GOP come on out and condemn this racist. You will not see that because this is their base. How dare you people mess with my city? How dare you people try to incite this? And how dare you sit on your pompous thrones afterwards and act as if we're trying to rein in those black liberals? Shut up! This was caused by police that like to kill black people. You wish that would stop. And racists who came into our city and tried to start problems. But will Republicans want to stop that? No. They'll sit there and talk about Black Lives Matter needs to be reined in. You pathetic, worthless pieces of crap. You come into our city, our peaceful city, our multicultural city, our nice city, and you're trying to create problems. Well, mission accomplished. But now we know the truth. Now we know who's we can't trust. We can trust each other. You're seeing neighborhoods in this town band together. You're seeing locals look out for each other. Why? Because the outstate people, the non-Minneapolis St. Paul people, the racists are coming into our town to try to divide us and incite violence. I've had enough of this, and I've had enough of Jennifer Carnahan and the rest of the Minnesota GOP and this false narrative about how they need to rein in the Twin Cities. You need to rein in your racists and keep them out of our town. How dare you people? The truth comes out, and you guys go silent. 952-946-6205. I was not planning on getting this angry. 952-946-6205. I am pissed off. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
When you need legal assistance, let the Minnesota Lawyer and Referral Information Service help you find the right attorney. It's a new and enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They have professional, experienced referral counselors who can connect you to vetted attorneys practicing in employment, real estate, wills, taxes, and much more. Take the stress out of finding a lawyer. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. Our featured idealist is the late Congressman John Lewis. I'll share about his early life, a story that many don't know. We have an encore big interview with Juliana Richardson of History Makers, which tells the stories of African-American business pioneers. In my C-block, I talk about a mistake I recently made in a training I conducted, and hopefully I'll learn from it. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network, inviting you to join us for Minnesota Matters, a weekly program covering everything that matters in the North Star State. This week, the mask mandate. Minnesota suicide rates are on the rise. Talking Heads drummer Chris France shares a few memories of Minnesota and his close calls with Bob Dylan, and Twins TV broadcaster Dick Bramer has a preview of the shortened baseball season. Tune us in right here or at minnesotanewsnetwork.com.
Sunday mornings at 6:30 on AM 950.
Sexual abuse has hurt our Native people. It's still hurting them. My cousin was raped when she was 13, and 2 months later she found out she was pregnant. Now she is hurt because her baby has no dad. We have to stop sexual abuse against Native women and girls. We shouldn't have to experience sexual violence. Work with us to stop this abuse. That's not too much to ask for, is it?
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Oh, and I'll say the same thing I've said back then. Sure seemed interesting this guy was able to do this. And once again, this was not when there's all the chaos going on. He was the first guy to start it. Didn't even see a police officer come up to him and ask him anything. He was able to do this and kind of walk away. I think it's fair game, and considering we have a head of the police union who had a racist, white supremacist group patch that was on his jacket.
Yeah, he was part of a little motorcycle gang that happened to have a patch.
That had a patch that was symbolized white supremacy, a white supremacist group. And I want to ask the question, was he aware that this group was going to be infiltrating our city? Did he know? Was he aware? Is he a member?
Dear God, heaven forbid we ask those questions. And we're just asking questions, something we are legally able to do. Ask the question. 952-946-6205. 952. I mean, dear God, I mean, Minneapolis police kills yet another black man. White supremacist come into town to incite violence. Not just this guy that started it at the AutoZone, but pretty much everyone who is arrested so far comes from outstate Minnesota or not in Minneapolis, St. Paul itself. And yet the Republican Party of this state has the audacity to look at us and say, the problem is those inner city people. And we know what they're saying. You should be condemning this. But you know what? That's the entire narrative. They have painted themselves into the corner. The entire narrative for the Republican Party at this point is, you know, big city metro liberals, those people bad. We're wholesome salt of the earth people out here. Please, I'm tired of this. We have to start calling this what it is. And that is an infiltration by white supremacists and idiots into our city to basically incite the riots and violence, and that's what happened. And do you think that any Republican will refer to this white supremacist as that's the guy who started it, we have to rein in these white supremacists? Nope! I highly doubt it will happen. Maybe one or two that are in one of those seats where they might lose start getting out of a serious wagging finger. Oh, I'm angry. Oh, waggy, waggy, waggy. But, yeah. It's a travesty. Robert wanted to chime in. He wanted to mention something about rural broadband that we talked with Democrat of the Day. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, hi, man. I'm totally on your side as far as Umbrella Man and the whole shenanigans with that is concerned. However, my thing I called about was broadband in outstate Minnesota. I used to work in a repair group for CenturyLink. I'm retired now, so I can talk about this. About 6-7 years ago, CenturyLink and all the local telephone companies got a big chunk of money from the federal government to put broadband hardware further out into the countryside. And there are times when I used to work with the outside technicians, and we had tools where you could see how many customers were on a particular piece of hardware, and there would be like 3 or 4 customers. And I went and asked an engineer one day, and he wouldn't give me an exact figure because I don't think he could. But they said anywhere between $1,200 to $1,800 per customer is the cost of the hardware to deploy one of these things. So when you're making $5 or $10 a month off of a customer, you know, you got to think payback period. Well, how long is it going to take to pay for that?
Well, and Robert, one of the things I want to point out here is when we put electrical lights, that was the same argument they used against the TVA and electricity. You're going to spend all this money to line the country with telephone poles and electrical line? Don't you know how much that's going to cost? What is that, 2 cents per person? My God, it's going to take forever to pay back. But yet we created the infrastructure system to where, if you do it right, it will last for 40 years. And just the educational, medical, business, agricultural benefits from them will be long justified with the cost of that. So it's easy to sort of say, but I remember cable TV. You know, cable TV, it was really slow to get out into rural America. And when it did, it went generally into wealthier communities. But they still did it. And now everyone's got it. You know, it eventually will get, you know, I understand it might be cost, but you put the place in now, you put it in now, and you get it taken care of. Just shrugging our shoulders is no longer a good option. Vern is in White Bear Lake. Welcome on in, Vern. Vern, let's get line two. Vern is in White Bear Lake.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Vern.
Okay, two things. The Republican Party of the state is just following the Trump. I mean, remember this?
Yes.
Oh, he's sending troops to Democratic-run cities. So there's your cue there. And the other point you made earlier about the people don't accuse cops of being undercover. Well, Fletcher and Stanek both had undercover people trying to infiltrate peace and justice groups
remember
during
the
Republican convention.
Remember that,
so
Vern?
Vern,
remember the Mall of America? They did that over there, too, because they were scared of protests. Mall of America cops had infiltrated protest groups.
I had forgotten about that.
Yes.
And the other thing with that, the umbrella guy. You look at that video, even the damn hammer he had is not your rank and file damn hammer. It's one of those plastic coated hands. You can see it in the video. So it's like every about that guy looked like a provocateur.
Totally. Oh, absolutely.
And I'm just stunned it took so long.
I'm glad whoever came forward with it. Thanks, Vern. I appreciate it. I'm glad whoever came forward with it did. A lot of other things to try to get to here before the end of the show here. A Republican group in Minnesota was the subject of complaints after sharing a meme on Facebook that likened the wearing of face masks to the Holocaust. Yikes. The post appeared on the Facebook page of the Wabasha County Republicans, showing an old man wearing a yellow star badge in front of a Nazi officer. The meme says, just put on the star and quit complaining. It's really not that hard. Just put on the mask and stop complaining. Jewish people were legally compelled to wear the Stars of David and to identify themselves in Nazi Germany, according to the Holocaust Memorial Center, which is one of the ways which the Jewish community was dehumanized and isolated. Equating this practice with face mask mandate in Minnesota and other states, which have been implemented to help contain the spread of COVID-19, led to complaints of anti-Semitism being leveled against the county group. Oh, no, I won't. Yeah. You guys are bigots. I mean, you guys, whoever did this and allowed this to stay up for a while, bigots. You're definitely anti-Semitic. The Jewish Action Community Action Minnesota wrote on Twitter, we asked the Minnesota GOP to tell Wabasha Republicans to stop using imagery like this. It betrays a total lack of both empathy and education. Minnesota GOP chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan, who has herself been an outspoken opponent of mask mandate and has compromised, issued a statement in response to the controversy. She said the Minnesota GOP reached out immediately after it was brought to their attention. Wabasha County Group was removing its Facebook page, and they say they believe it was a hack. Now, that was the first story. A board member has resigned. This is actually from KSTP later on this afternoon. A board member has resigned after an image comparing Minnesota's mask mandate to Holocaust was posted on the Wabasha County GOP's Facebook page on Monday. Now, I want to repeat this because it's going to be important later on. This is a board member of the Wabasha County Republican Party. Okay. The Republican Party of Wabasha County has said the image was maliciously posted. Wabasha County Republican BPOU Chairwoman Beverly Snow said no one from the party posted the image, which shows the Nazi officer telling a prisoner of war to wear the Star of David during the Holocaust and compare that to wearing a COVID-19 mask. Okay, no one from the Republican Party did this, but yet you had someone resign from the board of the Wabasha County Republican Party because they had done this. Okay, Tuesday afternoon, Carnahan released the following statement. Upon further investigation today, the Republican Party of Minnesota has learned the Wabasha County Facebook page was not hacked last night, as believed by the Wabasha County chair. The offensive picture was unfortunately posted by a board member who has resigned effective immediately at the party's request. We are saddened by the vitriolic post and hope to move forward with that Republicans and Democrats alike will maintain the highest level of integrity. Okay, you need to go talk to the Republicans. Jennifer, you need to go talk to the Republicans. As you guys keep saying, oh, this was not a member of the Republican Party. It was a board member of the Wabasha Republican Party. It was the Republican Party that did this. And I'm glad you're condemning it. That's great. That is very good. But the rest of the county, I think, knew it was up there. So, we have no idea. We were hacked. It wasn't us. Oh, by the way, it was the board member from the county. Oh, okay. All right. God, you guys are just predictable here. You're just predictable. After several days with large case counts, the number of new confirmed COVID-19 infections dipped Tuesday to 480, which could be the result of a 30% decrease in tests processed. I would say that that's a pretty decent comparison. Hey, we're down to 480, but we didn't do 30% of the tests that we were supposed to do. Sunday, Minnesota reported its largest one-day case count with more than 860 cases, counting for four-day stretch where cases topped 700. About 9,000 diagnostic tests were reported on Tuesday, a marked decrease from the 13,600 reported on Monday. The case reports on Monday and Tuesday are typically lowered, reflecting a lower testing volume over the weekends. However, the recent surge in new confirmed cases comes as state officials are preparing for a Thursday announcement about the school year. Trends, let me just prepare you. No matter what Governor Wall says, Republicans are going to be outraged. Oh, I can't believe this. It's an overstep of power. Outraged. I'm outraged. Ah. I just saved the time. There, you don't have to even look at Twitter. There you go. I've just covered. That's exactly what every Republican is going to be like on Thursday. The trend of the last few weeks has made this announcement more challenging because we know what happened, kind of the larger community affects what happens in the schools, and Minnesota Health Commissioner. The state policy will set the stage for either continued distance learning or in-school instruction in a hybrid model that encompasses both approaches. Schools might also need to be prepared to be flexible as COVID-19 pandemic evolves. I think being flexible is the key word here. I think you're absolutely going to have to be somewhat flexible on this. I just don't see how any other way you're going to be able to get around it. The total of 249 COVID-19 patients are hospitalized in a net one-day increase of 37. Intensive care units have 138 patients statewide. That number has actually gone up. Those are not good numbers. Finally today, Brett, I have not gotten seeds from China. Have you gotten seeds from China, perchance?
I got a big little garden in my backyard of some mysterious trees and plants. No, I don't.
It keeps going up to the sky. It's a big old beanstalk. I don't know what to do with it. It only cost me a cow. Now, here's what I'm going to say. I know this stuff sounds weird, but there was a report that the Russians were looking at somehow trying to... Is it Yellowstone, the one out in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming? Is that Yellowstone? They wanted to try to figure out a way to activate the volcano at Yellowstone. The Russians were actually trying to figure out how could they, because it would cripple the American economy and the government.
They do realize if Yellowstone erupts, that's affecting the whole world.
They don't care. These are the Russians. They don't care. But someone had mentioned that the seed thing, the Chinese are sending seeds around. Do you know what kudzu is, Brett? Do you know what kudzu is?
Do not know.
Kudzu is a vine that grows in the southeastern United States. It's not a native species, and it came here, and it went crazy. And it grows over everything. I mean, if you leave a field, you're going to have kudzu all over it. I mean, it's a mess. It's a major economic problem. They've never really been able to figure out how to do it. You just have to kind of clear it off and trim it back. But it's a lot of work to have to deal with kudzu. It's just one of the many non-native species which we've had to deal with here in this country, animal and plant. The theory is they're wondering if these seeds are invasive species and that if people plant them, that we could end up having, you know, catastrophic consequences with the plants that are grown. So I'm kind of surprised I actually have to say this, but okay. If you get a package of seeds in the mail saying, plant me, here you go, free seeds, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Do not throw away the package or its contents. Do not plant the seeds. Call Arrest the Pest Line. They arrested the pest line. Someone was up all night thinking about that one. 1-888-545-6684. Arrest the pest at StateMN and provide your name, contact information, and the date the package was received. So if you do get seeds, you're not supposed to throw them away. You're not supposed to plant them. You're supposed to call the state, and they're going to try to figure out what the heck they are. 952-946-6205. We'll come on back. Music to take us out today. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hazel's Northeast is back and offering some of the most creatively prepared comfort food you'll find. Delicious breakfast options include the slow-cooked brisket hash, chicken fried steak, and the famed drunken banana French toast. Or for lunch and dinner, there's Swedish meatballs, wild rice gumbo, and more. Hazel's Northeast is open Wednesdays through Saturdays, 8 to 8, and Sundays, 9 to 2. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family-owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis. Make your reservation now at hazelsne2go.com.
During July, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $700 off new energy-efficient air conditioners with payments as low as $50 a month or 0% financing. No doubt that's a great offer, but is it a hot deal or cool savings? Either way, you'll be escaping the latest summer heat wave in cool comfort. Find out more about these great savings on a new air conditioner at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I apologize if I got angry, but I'll tell you what, nothing makes me madder than watching these arrogant Republicans preen around about how we need to rein in the city. Oh, really? Well, then let's rein in the cops that keep killing black people. Let's rein in the white supremacists that keep infiltrating our town and trying to cause violence. Let's rein in these people from not in the metro area who keep coming into our metro area from your districts to cause problems. Let's rein them in. How about we do that? No, you don't want to do that, huh? But we'll send in Trump's goons, huh? Great. Great. If you're not getting angry, you're not paying attention. And I am getting freaking livid at this point. Peter Gabriel is going to take us out today. Have a good day. We're back with Stein tomorrow. Till then, see ya. Larger than